are the deciding factor for the words you speak. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as he illustrates how the words you speak today will be what you have tomorrow. Now, let's join Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we praise you and we thank you and we worship you today. And we are so thrilled with your presence and your words, the words of life. You said, my words are spirit and they are life. And we receive it and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget to download your free broadcast study notes, kcm.org/notes. Amen. So important, very important thing. Let's open our Bibles once again to Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, now listen, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart or in his spirit, but shall believe. Believe what, Jesus? But shall believe that those things, these are words he's talking about, we're talking about in all of these lessons, that words are the most important thing on the face of the earth. That makes God's words the most precious thing on the face of the earth. But shall believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now then, Matthew, excuse me, chapter 12, and we read this now in the light of Mark 11:23, because what Jesus released there was the spiritual law involved. You remember what it says in the book of Romans? By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. These are spiritual laws. A law is something that is predictable and works every time, the same way every time. We've learned this in the law of physics. Well, physics were created by the Word of God. Amen. Now, 12th chapter of Matthew, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words are you justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. Now, Luke quoted Jesus, I don't got time to go into all that. But he said, Jesus said in Luke's writing, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So what you said yesterday is what you have today. There's just no two ways about it. Now then, we saw in Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Mark 11:23, we just read that. Jesus put the emphasis on the words, believing the words that come out your mouth will come to pass. Now, that's true whether you're speaking righteous words or evil words. You're speaking words of faith or words of fear. In the book of Hebrews, an evil heart is an evil heart of unbelief. That wasn't talking about, the world. That's talking about God's people. So, whatever's coming out of your mouth is what you have. Like one person said, oh, Brother Copeland, I'm praying for a crop failure. Yeah, I did too. Amen. But in order to have it, you're going to have to change what you say, which means you're going to have to renew your mind, which means you're going to, you must begin to say the Word of God. I remember, you will too when I remind you of it, when Brother Keith Moore was on the broadcast with us. Oh, this really, really marked my thinking. He said, if you're on trial, and you are all the time, we are blessed with this. Satan stuck with it. He knows very well the sower sows the word, you listen to it, and you don't let him distract you off of it. He knows just what Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you are not my own, it's the Father that dwells within, He does the works. We have the same Father dwelling within us that was dwelling with Him then. We have the same words of God. Amen. And thank God they're in this book, the First Covenant and Second Covenant. We have them. Hallelujah. These are His word. He hastens His word to perform it, watches over it to perform it. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Is it? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're on the witness chair. You're being accused by the devil, the accuser. He's accusing you. What's he accusing you of based on what? What you say? Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. You and I are the second witness. The Word is the first witness. You and I are the second witness. And here you have Satan on one side and the high priest Jesus on the other. Now, what you say license one or the other. And Satan knows the sower sows the word, Jesus said. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He doesn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I'll go back and look at that again in the 10th chapter of John. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can't steal the word, he can't kill or destroy. Because he knows well and good that if you believe it, and you begin to say it, and the stronger it gets, the more you say it, and the more you say it, the stronger it gets, and you're standing against him, and you finally wake up to the fact that, hey, it wasn't what they've been saying about me that's ugly. That's not the issue here. No, no. Satan has energized this thing to get me out, get me to start saying what they say instead of what Jesus and his word says. If he can't get in your mouth, he can't get in your goods. Amen. He knows full well. If he can distract you or me, and we begin to say what he says, and we begin to say it, now he can do the work. But if you refuse him, you stand and you continue to stand and you keep saying, I believe I receive my healing according to what Jesus said, and you just having done all to stand, you stand therefore having on the full armor of God. This is going to rise up in your heart, and what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The Father within will do the work. But it's all based on what's coming out your and my mouth. Words. We live in a God, a Word-created environment. A Word upheld. He's upholding all things by the Word of His power. The 19th Psalm, we read that yesterday, acceptable words. Make my words acceptable to you, Father. The 91st Psalm, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And then surely He will deliver me. That's how, with those words, is the entrance into the secret place of the Most High. Glory to God. Now then, let's look at the 103rd Psalm today. Psalm 103, in verse 5, He satisfies my mouth with good. The word things there is italicized, means in the King James translation, it means that it was added by the translators. All right. He satisfies my mouth with good things, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So now, the root word in the Hebrew language to things is word, because words created all things. Okay? So He satisfies my mouth with good words so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now you come on over then, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant. This covenant is words, holding fast to say His words. Amen. To those that remember His commandments, or what He has said to do them, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments. They do what He says, hearkening, listening unto the voice of His word. God said in Isaiah 55:11, my word goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. How does it return? When we say it and pray it, His word returns to Him and it's not void. How do these angels get the word of God? When He speaks it? No, when we speak it. They're in the earth. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Verse 13, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all, say all ministering spirits sent forth? Now I want to stop there for a moment. You remember Jacob's ladder, where the angels were ascending and descending? That was under the first covenant. Now, under that covenant, when Adam fell and committed spiritual high treason and gave, he had the authority to do it, he gave. You remember what the devil said to Jesus when he tempted to, I show you all these kingdoms, bow down before me, they are mine, they've been given unto me, and I give them unto whomsoever I will. Amen. So Adam gave them to him. He didn't have the moral right to do it, but he had the legal right to do it. He gave them to him. He had it. He had the authority to do it. But now, all of the angels, the moment that happened, they had to get out of here. And the atmosphere then was charged with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the upper regions. And they're talking about the atmospheric heavens here. I'm not talking about in heaven, ain't in. They're not in that, then the heaven, the third heaven. They're in this atmospheric heaven here. Now, on the day of Pentecost, those angels upon assignment in let me point this out to you now. Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and water, and I... And now, wait a minute, that don't make sense. This is God speaking here. This is God speaking to Moses. He said He will bless your bread and water. He's not talking about Himself. It couldn't be. I will take sickness from the midst of thee. Length of your days will be fulfilled, and so forth. Back up to verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So God sent this angel. He sent angels. He would send angels. He rimmed the mountainside with angels. And Gehazi, you know, Gehazi was Elisha's servant, and they were surrounded by the armies, and Elisha said, there's more of us than there are of them. And then he said, open his eyes. When he did, he saw the angels of God. But what I want you to see here, those angels came in here on assignment. Totally another. But now, the angel here was in charge of blessing the food and the water. Now, you, when you were born in this earth, you had an angel assigned to you. Jesus said so. Well, just because you got grown, it didn't go away. But when you got born again, that angel was ready. But what's he doing? Let's go back over there now again to that 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments. They're listening for the voice of the Word. Okay. To which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? All of the ministering spirits on the day of Pentecost came back into this earth where they were originally created to be in the first place. Now, don't get hung up on the mechanics of this thing. No. First Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. But now, wait a minute. What about when you're speaking and praying in tongues, in love, walking in love, keeping the commandments of love? Well, of course, just the opposite is true. We speak with the tongues of men and angels. Hallelujah. Well, that ought to light your fire. That you get in there and begin to pray in the Spirit rather than pray with your understanding, because Your understanding is so limited. Our understanding is don't amount to much. But I'm telling you, you get into your prayer closet and you pray in there for an hour and a half, 2 hours in tongues, in faith. Praise God. I pray with my spirit. I pray with my understanding. And then what about Mark 11:24? I believe I receive when I pray. Because it's a mystery, but it's my mystery, and it's between me and God and me, and He's taking care of my prayer life. All the stuff I forgot, but the angels are listening. Hallelujah! Oh, glory! I'll tell you what. This is shouting ground in the kingdom of God and in the household of faith. Praise God forever. Now then, hey, angels that have been sent forth, they're there with you right now. If you could see this, that I got a glimpse of it in the spirit just a few weeks ago in Minneapolis at Mac Lynn Hammond's great church. And I was preaching on this same thing, and I saw it, not my natural eye, saw it in the spirit. It's just a panorama of the spirit realm, and it is crammed full of angels and devils. And we're driving down the freeway back to the hotel, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, look, there's angels around this car, and they're protecting them, and there's demons around these others just doing their best to just get somebody to wreck and run over them, and it's this whole thing. And the only thing is separating them are the words that are coming out their mouths. Oh, wow. We're out of time. I'll be back in just a minute.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.